Thank you so much for joining us for today's message. We are always encouraged to know that God is touching lives all around the world through what He is doing right here in New Albany, Indiana. If you have a story about what God is doing in your life, please send an email to amen@hillsidechurch.us. Also, if you'd like to support this ministry financially, you can do so online or through text so we can continue to bring messages just like this one to you each week. Find out more by visiting hillsidechurch.us.
My name is Mitch Cherry, and I'm our children's pastor here at Hillside Church. So normally I'm in the basement, not today, right? So I'm always excited to get the opportunity to teach the Word of God, and so that's what we're going to do today. We have been on an amazing sermon series titled, Who is God and Why It Matters? Before we get started, if you missed week one and week two, by all means, go to hillsidechurch.us and check those out. You don't want to miss out. It's been a great series where we have focused on the complete nature of God. So as I'm speaking, you guys are probably thinking, what is that box? What is that box? Perhaps you're like me and you haven't heard anything I said, and you've just been curious what that box is. So I tried to paint it up a little bit, you know, kids ministry, we like making props, we love cardboard. So here's this box. So it truly sets the tone of this series. Pastor said week one, we more often than not, all of us are guilty of this, we've all done it. More often than not, we think we can put God in a box, right? We think we're capable of putting our Almighty God in a box. Well, today we're going to break that mindset. We're going to break that mindset. So that's exactly what this box is supposed to represent. This is us trying to put God in a box. So today let's pop the top off this box and let's take a look. So what we have done this whole series is we've looked at the complete nature of God. We've looked at the names of God. Literally in the Bible, we get, here in English, we get G-O-D, right? You know, occasionally we, Lord, we've heard Alpha and Omega, you know. Last week was Jehovah Jireh, we've heard that before. But honestly, we don't get to use those names, even though it could be weird if you're praying with a friend and they start saying, you know, Jehovah Jireh, but literally those names, there are power in those names. It lets us understand the full nature of God. And believe me, He wants us to do that. So week one, we focused on Elohim, right? Elohim. And Elohim means God the Creator, right? God the Creator. God created all that we have. He created you and me and everything in between. You know what I'm saying? God the Creator. There's so much power in understanding and in just grasping the fact that God created everything. Week two was just last week, and it was Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh, God the Provider. God the Provider. So Paul did an excellent job last week getting us to understand and really grasping that idea and that nature of God. He truly does provide for each of us. Everything that we had, or everything that we have and will have, was God's first. We don't have a thing. God gives it to us. He provides it for us. And more often than not, we take that for granted. We take that for granted. We lose sight of the idea that God is the one who gives. We're the one who takes, but God is the one who gives and gives and gives. Jehovah Jireh. Well, today is Jehovah Shalom. I know it's Jehovah Shalom. Now, 9:30 was pretty loud. 11 a.m., can you repeat this a little louder? Let's say it together. Jehovah Shalom. It was pretty good. It had like a strong echo afterwards. But Jehovah Shalom. And it simply means God of peace. Lord is peace. So that's where we're going to be at today. But before we get going, I wanted to read this passage. And it's in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. And this is just to set the tone. This is the Apostle Paul writing a letter to the church in Philippi. And it says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Will you guys pray with me? Dear gracious and heavenly Father, God, thank you so much for all that you do for us, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for going before us. Truly, thank you for being Jehovah Shalom. Father, today we posture our hearts and we open up our minds to your word and to your truth today, Father God. Lord, use me to speak your message, your truth, Father God. If there's anything I come up with today that is clever or funny, I ask that you that they forget it. People here forget it and they focus just on your truth, your word, God. So Lord, we praise you and we thank you. We posture our hearts again to worship you and to receive. We love you, Father God. Lord, we also want to still give you a big shout of praise for your college basketball team, the Kentucky Wildcats. Although they lost yesterday, we are believing as a church that they will move forward and do an excellent job in the NCAA tournament. Go Big Blue. All God's people said. Oh, come on. All God's people said. Give it to me, 11 a.m. Excellent, excellent. So if you are a Louisville fan and I got you to amen the Wildcats, touche. All right. So, like I said, we are diving into this series. But before we dive into it, I really just want to, you know, if you look at me or you get to know me, you know that I am outgoing when you get to know me. If you look at me, you know that I'm loud, right? I mean, you don't have to know someone's loud just to hear, or in order to hear them. You can just look at them and get the idea that they are loud. That's what my wife says 9 out of 10 times before I try to leave the house in an outfit. You know, that's too loud. So I'm very outgoing. I love to make people laugh, and I love to just not be fearful of getting to know new people. I know no strangers. Well, here's something that I also struggle with, but I've done a great job of hiding it my whole life. I struggle with anxiety. I truly struggle with anxiety, and I've struggled with it since, you know, I can remember. Even as a kid, you know, stepping up to the plate in T-ball, you know, like, oh gosh, they're going to throw it. You know, I just struggled with anxious thoughts and a lack of confidence. Now, through the years, I've been able to hide it. But last July, we had just got done with our very first vacation Bible school here at Hillside. And it was amazing, absolutely amazing. And we it was so successful. And you would think at the end of that VBS, I would be on a church camp high. Come on, who's been to church camp, right? Who knows when you leave church camp, you have this church camp high. Should be in the dictionary, right? For some of you, have to think about that a long time ago. But church camp high, I thought for sure I'd have that. I had it, of course, but it only lasted a little bit. And then I found myself being flooded with all this anxiety. Everything made me anxious. You know, from interacting with my children to communicating with my wife, just so much anxiety consumed me every step that I took. I didn't quite understand why. I've dealt with it before and thought, hey, I've been pretty good at hiding this. No, I couldn't. It started overflowing into work. Started being noticeable here at church. Definitely, my wife noticed it. You know, what's wrong? I couldn't explain it. I don't know. Well, through that season of being anxious, I tell you what, I didn't run to God with those thoughts and with those feelings. I just kept them bottled in. And because of that, I truly believe that's why I opened myself up and fell into the state of depression. Literally from August, or end of July, August, all the way to November, it's something I struggled with. I was depressed. I didn't quite understand it. I don't know if I was getting depressed with timing. We all have experienced that. Why, God? Why isn't things happening this way now? or I don't know if it was the comparison game. I started comparing myself to other people my age, or at least my stage in life. I'm not sure. But I started just being filled with feelings and thoughts that I know for a fact don't come from our God. Amen? So in September, though, through the middle of this storm, we get an invite to go to Louisiana with Pastor Paul and Miss Kelly to our churches, our family gathering of churches. So Hillside belongs to a group of churches around the country. And so think of this as all their pastors and staff coming together to be refreshed and restored. We got the opportunity to go. I should have been excited. I was excited on the surface, but if I could tell you something, those anxious thoughts, they just kept getting bigger and bigger. And so we get to Louisiana. It was a crazy drive. Love bugs are disgusting. And if anyone knows or have experienced those, terrible, that'll give you anxiety in itself. And so literally, we get to Louisiana. It's the very first night there. And I walk in. Now, I've been to churches this big. And it's never been an issue, never been a problem. But I walked in. Before we walked in, I literally told, and this is out of character, I told my wife, hey, let's wait in the car. Let's wait for Paul and Kelly. She's like, no, let's go. And so we went in, and I completely was just overwhelmed. Anxious thoughts started beating me up. I kept thinking, like, whispers, you're not good enough. Why are you here? People are staring at your beard. So on and on and on, you know? So literally, I'm just like, what's going on? But the minute we went into the sanctuary, and, you know, things like this, they always open up in worship, you know? They want you to set your eyes on the Father. So this minute we walk in, worship music's going, and there was a song that just got to me. There was a specific moment when I decided, no. And what's crazy is there was this verse that came to me in that very moment. And I want to read it with you guys today, because I don't know, perhaps some of you might be struggling with anxiety. I want you to speak life over that part of you and know that that doesn't come from God. And this is what it says in Psalms chapter 94, verse 19. It says, when anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought joy to my soul. Brought joy to my soul. That verse just stuck out to me. And the thing, you know, I read Psalms and I got things highlighted, but where did that come from? That came from God. In that moment, God said, son, quiet yourself. Give this to me. Let me take this from you. And I kid you not, later that night, one of the pastors spoke on the weight of ministry, just the weight of life, you can even say it that way, and how to balance everything. And in that moment, a big weight was taken off my shoulders. Now, am I saying that God took it from me right then and there? Part of me is, yes, a huge part of me. Later on in the fall, we participated in a freedom group here at Hillside. And if you have not experienced freedom yet, one of the small groups here at Hillside, I challenge you. I think every one of us should go through that small group. In that portion of freedom, there is I heard some freedom peeps saying amen. I hear you. Yeah, but literally during that small group, there's a portion that deals with this stuff. And I didn't even know I had that much anxiety and depression built inside of me that I had pushed down to the bottom. Well, God met me and took it from me. And I literally found freedom from those things. Like I said, they're not from the Lord. Well, today, I mean, we live in a world where, I mean, it's easy to become depressed. It's easy to be filled with anxious thoughts. Look at our world today. If I could pick one word to describe the world in which we live in, and believe me, there's some folks in here, optimistic folks, my wife is one of those, I forget what we say, ridiculously or overly optimistic, like terribly, there she goes, she corrected me, terribly optimistic. Which she is, and I love it. But literally, we live in a world where being optimistic is great, but let's look at the world in which we truly live in, and the word that would describe it is turmoil. Turmoil. It's such a powerful word, but look at the world we live in. Look at the countries around us. Look at our country. Look at across the pond. We see war. We see terrorism. Look at our cities. The crime rate has increased. I don't know about you all, but man, that has the ability to make me anxious, to make me a little depressed, bummed out. I mean, look at our churches today. Not here at Hillside, but literally church as a whole, God's people. We have racial divides. We have denominational divides. That's not how God intended it. That's turmoil. Look at our work situations. I don't know about you all, but, you know, work is tough. I still have a job. I work at Ford Motor Company, and it's not exempt of this. In your work situations, there can be turmoil. You can't control what people say, do, or think around you. And if you're not guarding your heart, those point of views or those perspectives can sort of be absorbed by you. But in work, not only is that an issue, but the pressure to succeed is in that turmoil as well. Turmoil in our home. You know, home is supposed to be your safe place. But there can be turmoil in your home. Look at the divorce rate right now. That is not from God. And then this is the biggest turmoil. Like I mentioned, my struggles with anxiety and depression. This turmoil is the big one. And that's turmoil of one's soul. We've all been there. Perhaps you're there today. Turmoil is everywhere. And it is a perfect word to use for the world in which we live in. But aren't you thankful that we have a God who created, a God that provides, and a God who is peace that can make it all right? So before we move on in our biblical teaching, because I am going to go to the Bible today, right? We're going to look at the word shalom, okay? So the word shalom, like I said, Jehovah Shalom simply means Lord is peace. Well, the word shalom, the basic definition of shalom, is harmony or reconciliation of a relationship based upon the completion of a transaction, the payment of a debt, the giving of satisfaction. Shalom can also be translated as welfare, good health, prosperity, favor, rest, whole. I love these next ones. Finished, full, to make good. See, peace appears in Scripture over 400 times. Shalom appears 170 times, and it is translated as peace. Even our Jewish brothers and sisters say shalom in passing or in greeting, shalom. See, peace expresses the deepest desire and need of the human heart. It represents the greatest measure of contentment and satisfaction in life. Jehovah Shalom. Why do we live in such a world that's filled with turmoil? Well, today, we're going to be looking at God's people like we often do in Scripture, the Israelites. So we're in Old Testament. We're actually in the book of Judges is where we're going to be today. But what I want to do, to paint the picture so you guys know the current state of God's people in this scene, okay? We're going to jump all the way ahead to the very last verse in the book of Judges. The last verse, this is what it says. It says this: in those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as they saw fit. Wow. No wonder this is, you know, the state of God's people is just turmoil. I mean, could you imagine in today's world that being the case? There's no president, there's no government, it's just us. And everything we do as we see fit. There's no governing laws. We do as we see fit. So no wonder God's people in this particular part of a story that we're all a part of are experiencing turmoil. So there's the setting of the tone of God's people. As we move forward, we can see that Judges, in the book of Judges, we see a cycle taking place, okay? And it's a cycle that still exists today. In our own lives, in my opinion, the church as a whole, we got to get away from this and understand the second part of it and live with that perspective and that mindset. So the first part is the Israelites rebel against God through their sin. Their sin leads to their punishment and discipline. Their discipline drives them back to repentance. God responds to their repentance with deliverance. So we're going to start in Judges chapter 6. Verses 1 and 2, it says this: the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And for seven years, he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain cliffs, caves, and strongholds. God's people are in hiding right now. They're hiding. God's people are hiding. They are lost. They are starting to, they did it to themselves, but they are hiding from God. If that's even possible to hide from God, it's not. Just like putting God in a box is not possible. So the Israelites are hiding. What's crazy about this particular spot in the Bible is we just got done with the book of Joshua. It comes right before Judges. And in Joshua, God's people have reached the what land? They have reached the promised land. God's people have reached the promised land. But this is the thing. They had disobeyed God, and it is clear that their disobedience disrupted peace. It's clear that disobedience can disrupt peace. And peace accompanies righteousness. See, this, what's so crazy is that they are in the promised land, but I want you guys to know this. Even though you're in the promised land, even though the Israelites made it to the promised land, they were still experiencing turmoil. They were in the middle of it. See, here's a truth, church. You can be in the promised land, but at the same time be outside of the will of God. The Israelites are crying out, God, help us. God, help us. So now they hear God, right? Isn't that just like us? We go about our daily routines. We go about life step by step. We do our thing. I've been guilty of it. But then when something crazy happens, something that a tragedy or something that we cannot control ourselves, we turn to God in that moment. What happened when things were going great? See, God wants you to lean on him through it all. The Israelites are crying out to God, and God hears them. God hears them. This is where Gideon enters the scene. Gideon was hiding from Midian just like the Israelites. We find Gideon hiding as well, and I want to read this to you, okay? So the angel of the Lord... The angel of the Lord, and I always pretend when I see the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, that's got to be Jesus, right? So the angel of the Lord appears to Gideon. The angel of the Lord sat down underneath an oak tree where Gideon is threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. I don't know about you guys, but you're not supposed to thresh wheat in a wine press. Midian, like I said, is hiding from the Midian, or Gideon is hiding from the Midianites, just like the rest of the Israelites. He's in hiding. So this is what, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. What? Mighty, mighty warrior. The reason why I have that response is Gideon, he's threshing wheat in a wine press. How is he a warrior? He's never beaten anyone. He's never gotten into a fight. I would like to assume and make the assumption that he had never won an argument with his siblings. More than likely, Gideon was the one that got pushed around. But God sees something in Gideon. Have you guys ever had someone see something in you before you did? See, you are who God declares you to be, not what your current situation is. You are who God declares you to be, not what your current situation is. See, you are who God says you are even before you know it, right? Gideon, that's the case with Gideon, and we can see in his response, right? Let's look at Gideon's response, and I love how he responds to the angel of the Lord. You hear him go, "Pardon me?" There's no way he said that confidently, right? It was very soft. "Pardon me?" That's me being soft, okay? Get me up. So, "Pardon me?" Gideon replied, "But the Lord is with, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened? Why are we in this turmoil? Why is things crazy? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us to the hand of Midian." The angel of the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" Okay, hold up. Gideon's response again, "Pardon me, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest, and I'm the least in my family." My assumption was correct. The angel of the Lord answered, "I will be with you. You will not be struck down, and you will strike down, in fact, all the Midianites, leaving none alive." Man, did God see a whole bunch before Gideon did, right? See, we know the rest of that story, and if you don't, this is what happens. Gideon actually, which is crazy, why we do this, but we all do this, prove it, God. You know, he went from "pardon me" to "prove it, I don't believe you." Are you serious? You're talking to God. God amuses him and proves it. He proves it. So Gideon, his perspective, his attitude has changed. There's this confidence that I believe is starting to boil up in Gideon because he knows, in fact, he's with God and God is with him. And so, but the Lord said to him, "Peace, do not be afraid. You're not going to die." So Gideon built an altar. He built an altar to the Lord and called it, "The Lord is peace." To this day, it stands. So that's where we get Jehovah Shalom. That's where it's mentioned. That's the first appearance of it in the Bible. Gideon named that altar Jehovah Shalom. See, Gideon doubted. Gideon's doubtful response truly echoes our own when we hear God's plan for our lives. Gideon experienced this name of God, Jehovah Shalom, when he experienced God's presence. He found peace knowing that God was near. See, we experience that peace, and I wish we could, you know, just sort of harness that peace and keep it with us all day long, but it's truly magnified, and we're easily able to receive it when we come into God's presence and we open up our hearts in worship. Each and every one of you have experienced that peace today. But what I want you guys to think of when you leave here today, peace isn't and doesn't mean we are calm when everything around us is calm. No. Peace is we are calm in the midst of a storm. Like, take Peter, for example. Peter is right there, and Jesus is saying, come to me. In that moment, Peter is filled with so much faith and obedience, and he listens to Jesus, and he comes to Jesus. He steps out onto the water, and he has peace, and he is walking on water towards Jesus. But then the world around him, the storm, starts building this turmoil, and he loses sight of his focus, and he starts to sink. That's so much like us in our own lives, in our own walks. See, peace, being at peace means you're at rest even when everything else seems to go wrong. And we can see that in John chapter 16, verse 33. And this is what it says. I have told you these things so that in me you have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. So although we live in a world of turmoil, our God's already overcome it. He's already overcome that turmoil for you. There's so much peace and comfort in knowing that. So you ask yourselves, well, how do we enter into this name of God? How do we grasp this part of God's nature? And this is what it says. It says, you enter by standing firmly in your connection to Jesus. It's all about Jesus, all about that relationship. As we see him usher in light where there once was darkness, when he overcomes your situation, you overcome it as well in him. Jehovah Shalom brings something that eludes so many who face trials today. It brings rest. And rest is important. God says we are supposed to find rest, supposed to get rest. It's so pivotal in our faith journey and on this walk with Christ. See, in order to transform what you do, you first must transform what you think. See, for Gideon, that meant knowing that God was not only with him, but was also for him. God hadn't moved away from Israel at all. Gideon says, where were you? Where are you? I was here the whole time. See, the Israelites had left the presence of God through their disobedience and sin. Of course, there's not going to be peace. See, when the right mindset is followed up with the appropriate action, peace is the outcome. Who are we to think we're capable of putting God in that box? Keep your mindset on the Spirit that dwells within you, that which seeks to align all of your thoughts underneath God's point of view. And boy, is that the point of view we want to be under. But what does that mean for us? What does that mean for Hillside? What does that mean for God's church as a whole? Well, church, I want you to think about it with me. What if we all changed our mindset today? What if we all said, I don't care if the Holy Spirit makes me uncomfortable. I want to experience God's nature to the fullest. I don't care if praying with other people freaks me out. I'm going to do it because I want to experience God's power and nature to the fullest. Just imagine this community. Just imagine how much we will impact this region. It's a mindset that we need to obtain. That mindset is one we need to break. See, we need to know and live with the understanding that God is peace. And from that peace, we can realize that God is bigger than our problems. God is bigger than any struggles we're dealing with, and we tend to leave in the car or at the door and come in here with a smile. God is bigger than that. He wants you to be authentic. He wants you to be genuine. He wants you to be available. Make yourself available to him. So as I studied for this message and just prepped, I found this prayer, and I want to share it with you today. Like I said, anxiety is something I deal with. Perhaps you have the same thing you're struggling with. This prayer is, I just sat in prayer time and found this the day prior. I opened it up and I said, okay, I'm gonna say this. I even shared it with Paul and said, I'm not gonna use this. But there's so much power in this prayer. And it truly helps you understand that his peace transcends all. And this is what it says. Abba, Father, I want to thank you so much for all that you do for me daily. Jesus, right now, my mind is filled with many thoughts. My mind is not at rest and my soul lacks peace. Jesus, you are the Prince of Peace. Please pour your peace over my mind and over my soul and over my body. Take away any thoughts that are not pleasing to you. Transform my mind so that my thoughts are pure and stay on you. Jesus, you are Jehovah Shalom, the Lord my peace. Please flood my life with your peace that surpasses understanding. Thank you for hearing my prayer and giving me peace that the world can't give. If that's something you want, if that's a prayer you want, by all means tell me and I'll print it off for you later. But in that prayer time, in that quiet time that I had with God, that prayer just spoke to me so much. And it changed the mindset and the things that I thought I was capable of putting in front of me and God. It allowed me to break that. It allowed me to understand that God wants me to experience him to his fullest. He wants that for you today. I don't know what any of you are struggling with. I don't know if some of you came in here hurting today. I don't know if physically you don't know how you're going to get through today for tomorrow. Perhaps you have a family member that you are praying for daily and you just don't know if God hears you. I'm telling you, he hears you. Keep praying. Perhaps you just came today because someone invited you, but really you just think the things that you've done in the past completely cancels you off from coming in here. Break that. God wants you here. He meets you where you're at no matter what. So right now, if you could, I just want everyone to close their eyes. Everyone, close your eyes across the room. We're going to say a prayer together, and if you are any of those people, if you have never heard the gospel presented in such a way, and you want to start a relationship with Jesus today, you say this prayer. We're going to say the prayer as a church because we support all our brothers and sisters. Perhaps you just want to rededicate your life to God today. You're in a rut, and you've allowed that rut to consume you instead of stepping up out of it and saying, God, here I am. But together today as a church, we're going to say this prayer. So here we go. Dear Jesus, I am a sinner, and I am in need of a Savior. I believe you are the Son of God. I accept you over my life, and I acknowledge you as my King. Lord, help me to embrace you to your full nature. Jesus, I promise to not do this alone, but rather, I know there's a need for me to connect and for me to do life with others. Jesus, thank you for saving me today. Amen. Amen.
Our community at Hillside Church aims to reach people and build lives with the life-changing message of Jesus. Thank you for your support. If you want to further connect with us, please visit our website, hillsidechurch.us. God bless.